This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Martin L. Gross, author most recently of National Suicide, How Washington is Destroying the American Dream from A to Z. Tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of Americans came to Washington over this past weekend to protest what they see as government waste, excessive spending, excessive taxes, and just too much government intrusion generally into our lives. But according to Mr. Gross, this sort of government intervention and government negligence is absolutely nothing new. And Martin, thank you very much for your time.
Well, thank you for having me. No, back in 92, I wrote my first book on government. It was called The Government Racket. It was a number three bestseller. And at the time, subsequent years, I testified six times before Congress. And they were thrilled with my expose, and they were going to change and going to fix it and become more modest and stop bankrupting the country. But, of course, they did quite the opposite. Since 92 to today, the government has been going downhill, and we're approaching bankruptcy. You know, the interest rate now that we pay is 3%, and it's kept sort of low because China is buying our debt. When China stops buying our debt, the thing can go up to 8 or 10%, and then America, half the budget will just be the interest on the bonds, which is wasted money. Mr. Clinton had a $1.5 trillion debt during his 8 years. Mr. Bush had $3 trillion more debt in his 8 years. And Mr. Obama this year and next year is adding $3 trillion. And by the time he leaves office, if he stays in for 8 years, he'll have increased the debt by $9 trillion, and it'll be a $23 trillion debt with over $1 trillion a year in interest, which is down the drain. Basically, what's happened is that America, the government, federal government, has become the enemy of the middle class. You know, I remember back to Truman when we paid 2% taxes. The average American paid $46 a year in federal taxes, because he had an exemption of $600, which today would be $8,400, but instead he only has $3,650. So each family of four loses $20,000 in deductions through the chicanery of the federal government. Instead of raising the taxes every year, they just kept the exemption low. And meanwhile, we're losing about $5,000 or $6,000 a year, which we have to pay in extra taxes. And this is the method of the federal government, through chicanery, through deceit. For example, the AMT, the alternative minimum tax, is going to cost upper middle class people $1 trillion over the next 10 years, and not because they're making more money, but because they're taking legal exemptions with high state and high local taxes, and they're being penalized because they're taking legitimate deductions. Basically, it's a conspiracy against the hardworking middle class. And the congressmen have not bad intentions. They're sort of indifferent to the working middle class. But more important, they're absolutely ignorant. I testified once on welfare, and I told the committee that welfare is breaking the back of the average American. And they said, no, AFDC, aid to unmarried women, is only 1%. I said, yes. But that's only one of 85 different welfare programs that are hidden in the budget. If you type in welfare, you get nothing. You type in charity, you get nothing. It's all hidden. And the total is rather amazing. It's $700 billion a year, or $65,000 a year for each poor family. So Congressman from Manhattan got up and he said, how do you know that? You're inventing that. So I said, well, here's a catalog of welfare put out by Ms. V. Burke in the Congressional Research Service. She does it every 2 years, and she picks through the budget, takes her 2 years, and comes up with this figure, and it's absolutely accurate, and here's the catalog. And their faces drop because they're totally ignorant of the inner workings of the American government. All they know how to do is spend money and waste money in order to get reelected.
There's a lot of different programs and ideas in here that you talk about, Mr. Gross. Unfortunately, our time is rather limited, so I just want to get your thoughts on a couple of ones that have been in the headlines lately. One of which is what you call the credit card racket. There's been obviously some legislation passed and signed recently. Does that help what you consider government advocacy of these credit card companies gouging the consumer, or is it still just as bad as it was?
Oh, that's all shim-sham. It has no value whatsoever. They extended it to $21 21 days for late fee, but actually the average was 21 days before. My credit card is 25 days. The answer is that they're charging up to 30% interest, and the top usury rate in any state in the union, the top is 14. So what the federal government did was they passed a law saying that national banks don't have to follow the state laws on usury. So other corporations can charge more than 14, but they charge 30. And then the late fee, they charge the time that it takes you to send the check in, and then also for the time for you to receive the bill, the time for the check to, and then the time to process the check. So the whole thing is a racket, and they take in billions every year in fake late fees.
Martin, you also talk about in the book that there seems to be an attitude in Washington that the 10th Amendment to the Constitution, which provides that powers not specifically designated to the federal government belong to the states and the people, that's largely been ignored. And there's been some, as part of this Tea Party protest movement, that have brought that up as well. What some critics of the Tea Party movement have said is that Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution, which gives Congress the power to lay taxes and deal with the general welfare, so to speak, gives them the power to basically do what they're doing. How would you respond to that?
Well, the 10th Amendment is superior to the General Welfare Clause, and all they do is violate it. For example, they pass a law about Medicaid, but they don't pay for Medicaid. New York, Connecticut, where I live, pay 50%. And it costs Connecticut $3.2 billion a year for Medicaid. So the money has to come out of the education budget, and then the people have to raise. People get their property taxes raised to pay for the schools. So there's one tax after another tax, and the violation of the Constitution is a daily operation in Washington. Nobody cares, and it's all run amok. And the reason is that the politicians have only one desire, and that's re-election. And presidents used to veto bills when they were excessive. Now nobody vetoes anything, so you have a conspiracy between the Congress and the presidency to destroy the country, and they're doing a very good job of it. For example, duplication. Congressmen pass a law, and they forget about it. It's on the books for 50 years. It stays there. It goes up in cost every year. There are 163 different job training programs, 70 programs for juvenile delinquency, 50 programs for the homeless, 27 programs for teenage pregnancy. In Europe, the man who runs these things both passes the legislation and executes them, so he only wants one. In America, all the congressmen care about is to get the headline in the local paper that he passed another job training program, and it goes on and on and on. This I save $600 billion a year in my last chapter, and it's done very, very easily. The education in America, K-12, is very poor. And yet Mr. Obama spent $81 billion in March and April as part of the stimulus as a payoff to the teachers' union and didn't improve education a bit. We're 19 out of 21 of the developed nations. And the reason is that the school teachers come from the bottom third of the high school class. In Europe, they don't take high school kids. You have to have a real college degree before you can even train to become a teacher. So America is increasingly doing everything wrong, and the villain is the United States federal government. It's the enemy of the American people.
Two quick questions. One relates to the American people. Obviously, we're seeing a lot of people up in arms now, but as you've pointed out in our conversation and in the book and other books that you've done, these programs, this waste, this redundancy has been going on for decades. Why has it taken the American people so long to really wake up?
The American people work harder. I lived in Europe for a year. The American people work twice as hard as the Europeans. They get 9 days vacation. The Europeans get 5 weeks vacation. The Europeans get a high payment for unemployment. They get free college education. They get free health care. The American people have to work day in and day out just to pay their taxes and pay their mortgage. And they have had no time, really, to examine and to do something about this. But now it's gotten so bad. Combination of three free-spending presidents, Mr. Clinton, Mr. Bush, and now the worst, Mr. Obama, forces them to pay attention because otherwise they won't have any money to eat. What will happen when the interest rate goes up to 7-8% and the payment on the debt will double our taxes. And they didn't used to look forward, but now I think they're beginning because it's become extreme. We have the worst government of the developed world, by far, by far. The only answer to it is for people to understand that they have to become educated in the ways and byways of a federal government that is deserting them. And not only deserting them, but they're the active enemy of the middle class. The rich don't need the government, and the poor are sustained as upper middle class citizens with free rent. Here in Connecticut, an apartment costs $1,700, but the poor live in that same luxurious apartment for $500. Then they get free medical care in the Medicaid. Then the earned income tax credit, they get their FICA taxes back, plus cash up to $4,000. So basically, you don't have to work, and half the American people do not pay any income taxes whatsoever. And of the 100%, the 50% pay only 3% of the whole budget, and the middle class is stuck with 2/3, and the middle class becomes extinct. You no longer have a civilized country. Then you have a banana republic. And as a matter of fact, Warren Buffett, lifelong Democrat, big supporter of Obama, said the other day, we're becoming a banana republic. And the politician is the villain. And he's a strong villain, and people have to understand that that man who they elected is most often their enemy and not their friend.
As you've pointed out here, Mr. Gross, some politicians are more egregious than others in the growth of government and in the waste of government, but it seems from what you're saying and from what you've written that this is clearly a case of where blame belongs on both sides of the aisle.
Well, it used to be the fault of the Democrats, but then what happened, George Bush, who was a great patriot, and he saved us from the terrorists, and he did a wonderful job. He decided that he had the conservatives. Now he would get the liberals by spending. His budget went up 7% a year. It was atrocious. And so he broke the reputation of Republicans as being a break on the crazy tax and spend of the Democrats. And so now we have a bipartisan problem. Now the Republicans want to come back, but I don't know if I believe it because I testified before several Republican committees, and they were going to do this, they're going to do this. Then finally, all they do is spend money, like the farm business. The average farmer earns $86,000 a year net, which is probably 50% more because of the way he does his tax returns. And the average California farmer makes $136,000. And Bush voted them, it wasn't Bush, it was Congress. They voted them $309 billion more in subsidies. And Bush tried to veto it, to his credit. That was his only attempted veto. But the farm lobby just pushed it through. The farm lobby is important because they have two senators for each small population state like South Dakota. So there's 25 people in New York, and one person in South Dakota has the same power in the Senate. So basically, everything is wrong. We used to be the greatest nation in the world by far, and now we are struggling to try to keep our head above water. And unless we change the political system and change the politicians, we're going to go down and we're going to be a former great nation. And I love the country, and it sickens me and pains me to see this happening. But the American people are swept up in enthusiasm, like for Obama, they thought they were going to get a messiah. Instead, they got probably the worst president in the history of the nation.
Well, if you want a litany of all the problems the government has caused and instituted and just mismanaged in a great way, check out National Suicide, How Washington is Destroying the American Dream from A to Z by Martin L. Gross. And he's got some suggestions on improvements at the end of the book as well. So it's not just the criticism. Sir, thank you very much for your time today.
Well, thank you, Greg.
Martin L. Gross, I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.